But we want to continue, as we have the last, you know, three Sunday nights, with an interview of some of the different ministries here. And so we're going to have a couple of individuals from different ministries here at the church come on up. And so we'll have the prison ministry, One Step, Abide ministry come on up. And so I know Willie and Hope are out here somewhere. I think there's some coming from the back. All right, they're coming from everywhere. Here we go. Come on out, guys. So it's one of those awkward ones. Am I supposed to come out? Is it now? How is this going to look? So we have a different group of ministries represented here. And so we'd like to ask them a few of the questions we've been asking them so you can understand, you know, what the Lord's doing here at the church and how you can get involved and serve. So we'll kind of go through, if you want to give just a brief little insight into your ministry. So maybe name and what ministry you serve in. We'll start with you, Bob.
Yeah, we have the Abide Small Group Study Ministry, which is really cool because we do, like right now, we're actually doing the Compass, which is the financial study, and it has to do with biblical financial, what the Lord has to say about your finances, which is really awesome. And then with that study, we're also doing another one right now, which is 2 Samuel. And that's a book out of the Bible, of course. And so we do about three of those studies every year, which is the winter study now. Soon we'll be doing the spring study, which is going to be the, let's see, lost four words here, on the spring study, which is a marriage study, thank you, which is one-to-one discipling, which is a great great marriage study.
Speaking of marriage, who's right next to you?
I apologize. That's why I got my wife to help me out here.
And who's your wife?
Jeannie.
Hi, Jeannie. Let's do some. Let's step forward here a little bit. I've learned over the years that nobody here bites from this distance, so we're good. So
we're gonna start. It's the two shall become one marriage study. Thank you. That's what I was trying to get at. And it's a great marriage study that if you're just recently married, or if you're engaged, if you've been married for 20 years, it's a great study to come out and just to strengthen your marriage. And again, with how the Lord has prepared marriage and what He's created a marriage, it's just a really great study. And with that, we also do another Bible study. And then after that, we have the fall study, which we do the foundations of faith, which is the one-to-one discipling. That's the one I was getting at there. That's another great study. It has to do with the deity of Christ. And then we also do another Bible study with that also. So those kind of rotate every year.
All right. Awesome. And then your wife, Jeannie, serves with you, right?
Yes.
And then next down the line, the next couple that we have here.
Oh, I'm Kelly Hughes. This is my wife, Fabby Hughes.
I am Fabby.
Or Fabulous.
No.
And
did the marriage study. He did the marriage study.
We did it. We passed. We graduated there, actually. So a lot of times you'll hear at the end of the sermon, they'll say, you know, for those of you who would like to accept the Lord or need prayer, to my left, to your right, there's a door over there. And behind that door, there's some people that want to pray with you. We're those people. We're the behind the door guys. So we're back there. Yeah. And so a little bit what we do, people come, you know, with all kinds of, you know, a lot of times with prayer requests, but many times it's really neat. They'll come to accept the Lord. They want to accept the Lord, and they just don't know what to do. And so we get to, it's like the pastors have done the cleaning, and we get to eat the fish type of thing there. It's like they come back, and we get to pray with them, get to pray them into the Lord, you know, pray them into heaven to be one of us. One as a believer, so it's really, it's a neat thing, you know, to be part of that. And we're all in the body, we're all part of that, but, you know, the Bible says, you know, it's a wise man wins souls. And so to be part of that is so interesting and neat, and I like that. So, and then.
Abby, you good? Yeah.
Well, I love serving also in this ministry because not only you get to, like says in Acts 20, that it's better to give than to receive. You grow as you give. But also, it's a joy to serve with people alongside that, you know, have a heart to see people growing, and they love this congregation, and that's encouraging. It keeps us really growing and looking forward to what the Lord's going to do.
All right. And the last couple on the end there.
How brief is brief? brief.
Whatever you need. They don't like well, this distance, but
this
we
is
can
my wife.
Throw. Go for it.
Well, first of all, the one-step ministry that we have here, we meet here on Friday nights, and that ministry is really geared towards providing biblical counsel and guidance to those that are bound and struggling with addictions. Maybe they're living a sinful lifestyle. It's also a ministry that's there to provide a support for maybe those that aren't struggling, but they know somebody that is, and they just don't know what to do. And we find many of times on Friday nights that we have people that come out and they just want to know a little bit about what it is that they could do to maybe encourage and minister to their loved ones that are bound by some kind of a struggle and addiction. The neat thing about the ministry is that regardless of the struggle, regardless of the life-dominating sin, the answer and the solution is the same as Jesus Christ. Amen? So that's what we do. We give them Jesus, you know, on Friday nights. And so it's been a really neat ministry, a very fruitful ministry, and I'm privileged to be able to lead that on Friday nights. My wife, well, I'll tell you here. Here's my wife.
Yes, I'm Hope. I am the coordinator for the children's ministry for One Step. So when parents come and they need children's ministry, we provide that for, newborns up to fifth grade. And that was a vision we both had for the One Step, to make sure that nothing stops these men and women to come. That, you know, they could say, oh, I don't have no one to watch their kids. I'm like, I'm here, you know. And a bunch of wonderful men and women that come as well. And we have LIT, so it's a wonderful opportunity for me to minister to them. My husband and I came from that background of drugs and alcohol. Well, because these little ones, you know what? They've experienced it through their parents, the struggles their parents do. And they can come and just share, and we can just love on them and tell them, you know what? God is helping mommy and daddy, so we're here to help you through it all, too. So.
I also have the privilege of leading the prison ministry. And here at the prison ministry, I know it's not a ministry that you hear very often of. It's a ministry that happens outside of this church. But it is a ministry that's available here. And it's also an awesome ministry and a privilege to take the gospel into some local jails and prisons. We go to many of them, from the Apple Valley Juvenile Facility to some of the local county jails, even into the federal prison. And what we do is we just bring them Jesus. You know, we bring them Jesus. We have the privilege of not just sharing the word of God, but breathing hope into these men and women that are bound. You know, we bring hope to the hopeless. And so It's a very fruitful ministry also. It's one of those ministries that at times it's even very difficult to explain how fruitful it is. It's one of those things that you kind of have to go through yourself. I know many times we think, you know, I could never do that, and how is it? But you know what? We're not entering these jails and these prisons by ourselves. We're entering with Jesus, you know. And if God calls you, he's gonna provide you. He's going to support you, and he's going to be there with you. So we also have that. I also lead that ministry.
Awesome. So we have, you know, several different ministries that you're a part of, and you've shared a little bit about it. Abide, the small group Bible studies that kind of rotate on 11, 12-week basis. Yes. And those would be small groups, and you lead in those small groups and lead a group. Kelly and Fabi, they're the people behind the door, right? The meet with the new believers, and Hope and Willie with the One Step Ministry, another discipleship program, and also the prison ministry, going and taking the gospel into the prisons. Now, with those opportunities to serve, what are some blessings you've seen in serving? You know, what are some things you enjoy about the ministry you're a part of?
I would say that there's so many blessings that come along with that. And there's a lot of people that come through the study that, you know, some are new believers, don't even know the Lord. They've been invited, and we have an opportunity to share the gospel with them in a study where they can learn just in the detail what that book of the Bible has to say about the gospel. And again, if it's a marriage study, or if it's a financial study, or if it's the it's just a great way to connect with people and just to see the blessings that are bestowed upon them. When they're done with the study, they've learned so much, and they want more. So it's a real blessing.
That's awesome. Anybody else like to share about some of the blessings of their ministry?
Yeah, what I like is a lot of times we get a chance to, you know, pray with them, and they're not even, they want to accept the Lord, but they don't know what to do. And so, you know, we get to guide them and say, okay, well, you know what? You want to pray every day. You want to read God's word, fellowship, you know, be in a church where they're teaching God's word, and then encourage them to go out and share. Because I remind them that, you know, God doesn't just save any of us for no reason. You know, he must have other people in mind when he saved you. You know, so I get to share that with them, and they're like, yeah, that's right, my family and friends and all that. And what's really neat, and what I've seen many times, is that I see them slowly get involved. So we'll get to point them, hey, you should get involved in a men's Bible study, a woman's Bible study, or the Bide Bible studies, or the One Step. And you see them get involved, and they go from accepting the Lord to participating in the Bible studies. And now I've seen them as leaders in these Bible studies. They're bringing other people to the Lord there.
That's cool.
And so it's really neat, you know, because that's what we're trying to do, is just kind of reproduce and get more people saved, more people into heaven. And to see that is very encouraging for me.
That's awesome. Do you have anything? You good, Patty? Well done, Kelly.
Yeah, a couple things. Number one is, get to be used by God. And I don't think that there's nothing greater than that, than knowing that you're in the center of the Lord's will, whether we're there meeting on Friday nights, or we're down Monday night down there at Glen Helen, or a Sunday afternoon at the Adelanto Detention Center, Saturday morning at the federal prison, you know, to know that you're in the center of God's will. But one of the things that I love about the ministry is you get to experience the transforming power of God. God radically transforming lives. For those that when we go into the prisons, you know, that they're not just physically bound by chains, but they're also spiritually bound by chains. And so we go in there and we give them the gospel, and they come out, and I run into people on the streets, and they'll say, do you remember me? And I'll have, at times I have to tell them, I'll be honest, no, I don't remember you. And then they'll tell me, well, you know, I was down there at Glen Helen, and, you know, I was part of your Bible study for months, or I was at this in particular jail or prison, I was there for months. And then they tell me what God is doing in their lives, you know. And so it's really, really neat. For those that on Friday night, I have about half of the men that serve there, you know, have done prison time. They're all from, you know, they have that background, and now they have the heart, and now it's really neat to be a part of their lives and to be able to help in the discipling of their lives, and to be able to see them standing behind a pulpit on a Friday night, you know, teaching and sharing Jesus with others. So there are many things that come from serving in these two in particular ministries, but I would say God's transforming power working through somebody's life is the most fruitful.
Yeah, that's sweet. That's great encouragement, too, to know, you know, that God's will and God's desire is to take some of the people here in the church to prison to give the gospel. That's an awesome, awesome thing. Now, here's something I kind of want to get some feedback from you. I think this is really neat to see that we have married couples serving together in ministry. How's that been a blessing to you? You know, you serve alongside your husband or your wife. That can be a real encouragement and something maybe for some of us to think about. You know, husband, wife, how can we serve together maybe in ministry? So anybody want to share? Just, you know, one of you share about a blessing of serving with your spouse? All right, Willie, let's do it.
Something about this mic right here. No, it's a real blessing. I'll just, you know, like One Step, for example, on Friday night, and I'll just use one example. But it's for us, it's a family ministry. My oldest, you know, she's part of the worship team. You know, my two youngest, they serve as LITs in the children's ministry. I'm upstairs. Amen. And I'm upstairs, you know, leading, you know, the ministry. And my wife's downstairs, you know, coordinating and leading the children's ministry. So for us, the last, I think we're going on 6 years here on March 18th. That's what we do on Friday nights as a family. You know, so thinking back, you know, my oldest is 18, so since she was 12 years old, this is what we've been doing. No complaints, no nothing. They just love serving the Lord, and so it's a privilege. And by the way, it is a privilege serving the Lord. It's not something that we have to do. It's something that we get to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, we often have to remind ourselves of that. It's a privilege to honor Him through our lives as we serve Him.
That's awesome. Awesome. Now, what was it that got you to the point of, you know, starting to serve? Because, you know, we all go through that moment where we kind of think, okay, you know, I don't know if I can do this. I mean, am I supposed to do this? How do I do this? You know, that all that kind of emotion, those thoughts that go through. What was the deciding factor for you to step out and get involved in serving in the church?
I want to say, in general, I'm not sure, but I know for myself, it's just that the Lord puts a desire in. Sometimes you think, oh, I wish this happened with people, and you just get to a point where you're burning, mm-hmm. but not in a bad way, you know. And you said, maybe the Lord wants me to, you know, and as you pray about it, then it's interesting how the Lord brings the right people and the leadership and say, hey, you know, would you like to do this? And for me, it's always been a joy to pray with people to accept the Lord and to think about the steps. Salvation is the biggest deal, mm-hmm. right? So I don't want to say that it comes natural, but you will have a desire to do that. You will have a love, a burden for whatever the Lord is wanting for you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's awesome.
For me, I can say, you know, it started, you know, I was just really thankful to be saved. I knew where I was not going to be saved. I knew I was headed to hell and stuff. And then as I got into God's word more and more, you know, it just became evident, you know, I wanted to share with people at first with my roommates and stuff that I was living with at the time. I just thought, oh, no, I'm on a good health kick right now. But as I read God's word more and more, and then I come across verses like, say, if you're ashamed of me in front of man, I'll be ashamed of you in front of my Father in heaven. I said, uh-oh, I got to tell him. And so I got up the courage to say, you know, I'm a born-again believer now, and I'm trying to live my life differently. And, man, I just did that, and all of a sudden people started sharing with me, oh, thank you for sharing with me a little bit. And then they'd see me praying in the cafeteria at the university, and one guy would come up to me and go, oh, I didn't know you. You know, you just reminded me of where my roots were, and I want to get back to the Lord from little simple stuff like that. And so as you start stepping out, God gives you more, and you want to do more. And it's interesting because, you know, I've heard that before, that, you know, why would God give you more if you're not going to use it? So a lot of us, we can sit here and get filled, but what's the point unless we're going to give it out? And so I've found that the more that I've stepped out, the more of God has given me to share with other people. And this is, you know, this is a ministry we love, but it's only one of the ministries. It's really neat that I see a lot of faces as I'm looking out here that have been part in all kinds of different ministries. But that's how I started. And
awesome. Now, how would you encourage somebody who's maybe contemplating getting involved? Somebody, you might even be here tonight and you're going, okay, I can't wait to go around that ministry fair and see, okay, where, Lord, do you want me to plug in and serve in the church body? They're kind of contemplating, okay, I'm going to check this out. I'm hoping to find something. How would you encourage them to see things all the way through? Maybe even from your experience, you had the nerves, you stepped out in faith to serve, and, you know, you're looking back, man, this is awesome. God's using me. How would you encourage that person that's on the fence tonight?
You just, you know, you got to do it. You got to go out there and give it a try. Pray, you know, pray about, you go around, and you might try a couple of different ministries before you actually feel like, hey, this is the one that I know is for me. But step out there and try. I mean, you'll get to know other people that are serving in the ministry. You'll make friendships, and I'm telling you, this is one ministry, and yours is one. Going to Mexico, we do a lot of outreaches down there, and I know the Abide ministry, the men's ministry. All those things have caused me to grow closer to a lot of people as I know them out here. I wouldn't have got to know them unless I stepped out a little bit. And sometimes going through the struggle of, you know, going out and sharing your faith or praying for one another, you'll get to know each other. And that encourages you even more. And so if you're thinking about getting started in ministry, I would just pick one and go for it, you know. I would pick one. I like the Mexico ministry is a good one. There's all kinds. You'll see the booths out there and everything, but I'd say don't be afraid. You know, step up. You're serving God. You're trying to please God. You're not pleasing Chris. You're not pleasing me or anybody else. You're trying to please God, and it pleases God. And when we're all part of a body, working to bring other people to the kingdom and usher them into the heaven. So I think that's what I would say. I'm kind of mumbling, but.
I would say getting plugged into a ministry is a super blessing. For me and my wife, we both, she did the Radiance ministry and I did the men's study for a while. And great ministries, loved them. But then we got involved with the Abide ministry. And we just, you know, that's where we, the Lord led us there. We had a heart for that. Mm-hmm. And we were able to serve as a husband and wife in that ministry. And there's been nothing but blessings with it. Now our son, Matthew, he's involved with the mm-hmm. ministry where he's one of the students in the groups. And he's learning a lot. And we're just amazed at how quick he does his answers, faster than I do. You know, but that's because of the junior high and the high school, you know, ministry, which is great. So there's definitely so many blessings for a family. You could be single, you could be married, whichever, and you can join the Abide ministry or any other ministry, and just the blessings are just poured out, and God blesses you.
Mm. That's good encouragement. There's blessings to be had as you step out in faith. Now, kind of one final thing. How could people get involved in the ministries you're a part of? Like, what would they do? What would be a couple of steps to take if they were interested in prison ministry, Abide, One Step, follow up? How would you encourage them to kind of follow up to get involved?
Well, I would say definitely, you know, as Kelly said, pray about it. Mm-hmm. But we know the Lord's going to open those doors because it's serving the Lord. And you just have to be able to put whatever day that ministry is on, put that day aside. You know, we're all busy with our work schedules, our lifestyles busy, and there's always an excuse for, used to be for me, you know, oh, I can't do it on this day. But if you want to serve the Lord wholeheartedly, you put aside that day for that ministry, and you put your heart into it. And so if you want to get involved with the ministry, Abide has so many different things for that ministry. We have children's ministry, which is part of Abide. We have the sound ministry that you can get involved in if you'd like to do the sound. Or you can just come and join the group itself. And as time goes on, if you're faithful to that ministry where you show up every Thursday night, you know, preferably on time, and if you do your studies and pretty soon, some of the other leaders, what we're doing is we're looking for people that are, their heart is with that study. And next thing you know, you're leading and you're actually discipling others. And, you know, and that's kind of what we want to do. And that ministry has grown considerably.
Mm, that's sweet.
Yeah, for ours, I'd say kind of similar. This people in the ministry, in the follow-up ministry, you know, it requires you, we want to make sure that people back there know God's word real well. So I would want to see them involved in different Bible studies, you know, and have, you know, like other pastors or leaders that know them well that could say, hey, this guy can, you know, give out God's word, or the situation might come up. Just where we don't, you know, put someone in there too soon that might, you know, not know what to say or something like that. And again, I know like our ministry now, part of it is doing follow-up phone calls. And if you have an inkling like that, we need some people to help do the follow-up phone calls. Maybe not the face-to-face, but people that know God's word fairly well, and they're willing to pray for other people and talk to them as they, you know, as they express their needs and everything. And if you are interested in that, we can put you in contact with Joaquin Cervantes or Dave Doc also. But you can come up at the booth afterwards and talk to me about that if you're interested.
Really?
Yeah, I would say that, well, that we're all called to serve. And we need to find a place in the church body, you know, to serve the Lord. I think that, and I hope I'm probably going to be stepping on some toes right now. But if you have any issues with that, you could talk to Pastor Chris. But I think that some people even here, you know, today, you're beyond praying for this. I mean, you've been hearing, well, pray about it. You've been praying for years, okay? Now it's time to step out, get involved in a ministry. You will know whether the Lord is calling you or not. If you don't know where to start, start by looking at the bulletin, seeing where there's needs. Step out and start serving in that in particular ministry, and you're going to get to meet some really neat people. The Lord is going to lead you. The Lord is going to guide you, and He's going to bless your time there. But I would encourage you. Look, I got saved. A week later, I was on the usher. I was one of the ushers. You know, 2 weeks saved, and I was already security. Now, I'm not saying this is not the way we do it here at Calvary Chapel, okay? This is a small Pentecostal church where I got saved. But within a year, I was teaching a home Bible study. And it wasn't that I was even had the ability to do so, but my thing was I was willing to do whatever it took to be used by God and to be able to share the love of Jesus Christ with others. And that's been my heart since day one. I thank the Lord for that, and by His grace, I've been able to serve Him. So when I came from the low, from Chino up here to the high desert, the most difficult time for me was the 6 months that I needed to wait to serve. So I got involved in the Crown Financial. You know, that's what we did together. You know, as soon as that exactly six months, there was an announcement that they needed somebody in prison, I said, that's where I'm called and that's where I'm going. So I would encourage you, just get involved. You know, get plugged in. There's a lot of needs in the church. And come out to the tables. We're going to be all out there. If you want to know about the prison ministry, you want to know about One Step, you know, I'd be more than happy to sit down with you. There's going to be some that are serving within those ministries that are there to answer any questions that you have.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you. Neat to see another group of people serving the Lord here at the church. And I don't know about you, but it seems like there's been a common theme that has gone through each one of our interviews each week for like the last month. And it's really been just do it, right? Like just step out. You're going to get into service, into ministry. You're going to be a few weeks down the road or even that day you finish serving and you're not going to regret it. But before we dismiss you go to the ministry fair, I'd like to just encourage you from God's word. And so if you would, open your Bible, if you have one, to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I just want to look at kind of two things that should be present in our church family as we are being ministered to, as we are being faithful to proclaim and teach God's word, as we're faithful to gather. And so I just want to point out a couple of things, and then we'll have more than enough time to head over to the small sanctuary and meet with the ministries, see what the Lord's doing, and possibly, you know, find that step of faith to get involved in the church here. Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to look at, we'll start at verse 11, kind of jump into the middle here and just look at 11 and 12. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Father, we ask right now that in this short time, as we've opened up your word, that you would challenge our hearts and our lives. That, Lord, as we have opened up this section of Scripture, we pray, Lord, that you would stir us to be active servants of Jesus in the church that we call home. I pray, Lord, that we would understand what has been taking place in your church for centuries, the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. And I pray, Lord, that we would continue to equip and that, Lord, we would continue to do the work of the ministry. We pray, Lord, that you would be glorified in our service and that, Father, you would unite us as a family to further your kingdom because your coming is near. So we thank you and we praise you and we give you this time now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I don't know if you've ever heard the phrase, practice makes what? Perfect, right? I've got a child in the house right now that is learning to play the flute, and she had her first recital, right? Everybody at the school packed out the cafeteria, all of these different students all together, and they had their first recital, and they played Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star like any group of elementary beginner band can do it, right? And so at the end of it, there's that excitement of like, okay, they've been working together. They've been meeting with their band teacher once a week. And so there was this, you know, hon, you did a good job. I was so excited to see you up there. But continue to practice. Continue to put forth the effort because practice makes perfect. I don't know if any of you are maybe a little outgoing or athletic, and, you know, in the summer months or year-round, you like to go out and you like to run. And something happens between the first time you go out and run and after consistently running 3 or 4 or 5 times a week. Now, some of you are sitting there like, yeah, first time to going to run 3 or 4 or 5 times, that is changing there. You've lost your mind if you're running 3 or 4 times a week. But there's that first time you go out and it's something that happens to your body. Your body just says, I don't like this. It screams at you in all different weird ways. Like, what are you doing to me? How dare you ask me to move limbs so quickly? And you find that you're breathing heavy, you're struggling to breathe, and your 4 houses down. And it's like, man, that cross-country team makes it look so easy on my drive home from work. I thought I could do this, but if you do it day out, day after day after day, your time lessens, your body adapts, and you find yourself going, hey, I guess I am kind of crazy because I like this. Practice makes perfect. Paul comes in this section of Ephesians chapter 4, and he kind of lets us know something that God has given gifts to all of us. He mentions that in verse 7. It's been distributed. We saw it in the weeks past in 1 Corinthians 12. But he says in verse 11, but God has given some these gifts or these ministries of apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher. And God has faithfully worked through these groups. The apostles, that were the individuals that saw the resurrected Jesus that kind of were used by the Lord to kickstart the church. They worked miracles. They proclaimed the gospel of Jesus. There were then the aspect of the prophets. It's not this idea of people going like, I'm going to tell you the future. But you've got to understand, when the church first started, there was no Bible to hold. They were speaking and sharing and passing on declarations of God's truth. But as it became recorded, you have the pastor, the teacher, the shepherd that wants to pour into God's people and direct them according to the written word of God and teach and instruct them from the truth of God's word how to live in a way that honors the Lord. And then Paul goes in and says, and look at why this happens in the family of God. It happens so that we, as God's people, would be equipped for the service, for the ministry. We have in our church, as we gather, we have a pulpit where the truth of God's word is proclaimed, that the lost might see the love of Jesus, that the Christian believer might have their heart stirred in awe and worship of God and what He's done, but that we also might be equipped to go out and do the work of the ministry. There's something fantastic that comes out of this. The whole idea of ministry, that is service, is not something that is isolated just to a pastor, just to a staff member. A matter of fact, there is absolutely no way that any pastor or pastors of a church could do all of the ministry, and that is not even the instruction that God has given out. God has given us an instruction to equip, to teach God's word, to pray to the Lord, and in that, the people of God become the ministers to serve in the body of Christ. That we are all on this level playing field of going out and furthering the work of God and ministering in the family of God. Look at how he puts it in verse 12. For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. It is the saints. Now, if you understand the idea of saint, it simply means somebody who is set apart. If you are a follower of Jesus, if you have been impacted by His grace, you have a faith in Christ, and you've been made new in Christ, you are this saint. As you come and you take in the Word of God, as you come in and are taught the truth of God, you are being equipped to do the work of the ministry. It's the whole concept that you can sit and you can take in and take in, but God puts this great instruction in, hey, I don't want you to become like spiritually obese. I don't want you to be one who's just taking in, but I want you to understand that you are taking in that you might give out. The whole thing that we come here is to see that there is the equipping. If you want to look at the word equipping in verse 12, you can put your finger by it. The equipping that God works through pastors and teachers, through things even in your own life. That equipping, it speaks of mending something that's broken. You find in Scripture the whole idea of equipping or mending. It could be a net that is broken and is unusable at the moment, and so it's tied back together. In a medical term, the idea of mending or equipping, it's a doctor that comes in and will reset a bone so that it can heal or grow. It gives you this encouragement of, hey, you may have struggles, you may have things that you're working through, you may have weaknesses, but as you are being equipped through the preaching and teaching of God's Word, through the fellowship of the believers, something's happening. You're being equipped. You're being mended. The areas in your life that you think, hey, I can't serve because, you know what, I'm not able to. I can't serve because I don't know what to do. Guess what? You have been being equipped. That weakness in your life, that brokenness, as you are in the family of God and under the truth of God's Word, you know what God has been doing over these months, these weeks, for some of you, these years? He's been mending. He's been equipping. And then he comes in and says, you are equipped, look at this, for the work of the ministry. The whole concept is, wait a minute, I play a part. If we were to look at it, the whole body of Christ, we're all ministers. We're all ministering and doing the work of the ministry. That is using the spiritual gifts God has given us to build up the body, to be used in God's family, but even to go out and to evangelize the lost world. The work of the ministry, understand this, the work of the ministry is taking your spiritual knowledge and turning it into spiritual service. Taking what you know and putting it into practice in your day-to-day life as you are involved in God's church. I've been sitting in, I've been being equipped all of these months, all of these years, all of this time. You are equipped, you have been mended, you have been strengthened, you have been poured into in a sense. And now he says, to be a saint, to do the work of the ministry. One of the things that you'll see as you go next door is you will see the work of the ministry. I had a moment to kind of stand over there and see all the different tables as just one person, look around and go, there is absolutely no way I could be involved in all of this, but in a sense I am because I'm a part of this body. I got to go over and go, look at what God is doing with the equipping of the saints. But I also thought, I can't help but think of the saints that are equipped and aren't enjoying the blessings of the work of the ministry. We are equipped for the work of the ministry, but you see something else that he follows up with. One last thing that I'd like to point out to you, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, there's a much longer list that you can draw out of this of different things of maturity, different things of practice, different things that go on. But just look at the next one, for the edifying of the body. He says, verse 12, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. I come in, I'm fed God's word. God is working in my life. He has been mending. He has been equipping that I might do the work of the ministry, be in service to him. But then you see something else that he follows up with, for the edifying of the body of Christ. For the edifying of the body of Christ, you get even a greater insight into this understanding of the work of the ministry. The whole idea of edifying, it means to construct. This whole concept of kind of construction. And so I think this may minister to many of you if you have any background in construction. You know, you understand construction. You understand all that it goes into building a house or constructing a building. Now think of it for a minute. If you had somebody kind of come up to you and say, hey, you know what, you want to move, you want to get a new house. If one person single-handedly says, hey, I'm going to build you a house, just me, I'm going to do it. You should be a little skeptical, right? I mean, you think like, you're just one dude. I mean, you're going to build like the whole house. Yeah, I got the whole house. You should be skeptical of that because if you look in construction, there's many different trades, many different people that all contribute to what? One single built house. You have in construction, you have, you know, the first crew to move in, the surveyor who surveys the land, and those that do the compaction, and they excavate for the footings of the house. And then you have another trade, another group that comes in and adds to the house, and it's those that do the foundation, and they lay out the forms, and they make sure they're level, and they tie in any rebar that needs to be tied in, and they put down the vapor barrier that needs to be put in, and then the concrete truck comes. And if you have construction in your neighborhood, you know they come at like 6 o'clock in the morning. It's the loudest thing on the face of the earth, right? You know, beep, 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 and you're trying to sleep. And then they have this amazing ability to whistle so loud without even like using their hands. And they pour the concrete. And then the framers come in and up goes the walls and up go the roof. And then the roofers come in and they lay the felt and they stack the tile or they install the shingles. But then there's also the plumbers that do the rough plumbing and do the final plumbing and the electricians that come in and they run the wire. But then there's the HVAC crew that comes in and does the heating and the air conditioning. And then you have the drywallers and then you have those that do the fiberglass or the insulation. All of these different crews, what are they doing? They're constructing. What are they constructing? A house. God comes in and says, hey, I've equipped you for the work of the ministry, and as you do it, you are constructing and playing a part in one glorious, global, God-exalting body that when you look back at all of it, you get to go, wow, look at how amazing this is, and say, hey, I had a part of that. God used me in an area, in an aspect of it. It takes something like this. You may feel like your contribution is so small or so minute, or you think your ability or your gifting is so insignificant, but yet as you step out in faith to use it, you see that what you participate in is something so much larger than you could ever imagine because you stepped out in faith. Practice makes perfect. Some have been coming in and have been practicing in the sense that they're getting educated, they've been being equipped, and now it's time to step out for the work of the ministry. Some go, well, what could I do? It'd be so small, it'd be so insignificant. No, you'll be participating in the construction of a global, worldwide, amazing body of Christ that will all be assembled someday in eternity with the Lord. And so as we close in prayer, we do one last song of worship, and we dismiss to go next door. Think about it. I've been equipped. What's the work of the ministry? And how am I going to edify the body of Christ? Lord, I thank you so much for your word, and I thank you, Lord, for just the encouragement that has taken place Sunday evening for the last 4 weeks, the testimony of many servants, many faithful men and women. And Lord, I thank you that their testimony really has that common thread that runs through all of it. And that is the call, just do it. And Lord, I thank you that here at the church that, Father, there has been the preaching and the teaching of your word. That there is the desire to equip the saints, and many of us by your grace, by your faithfulness, because of our love and our attention to your truth, your word, we have been equipped. May we step out in faith and do the work of the ministry. I pray, Lord, that all in here would be encouraged to understand that you have gifted them and you desire to work through them, you desire to work in them. And anything they do contributes to the edifying, the constructing of the body of Christ. God, we thank you that here in the high desert, we get to be a part of something so amazing, and that is your family. And so I pray, God, that you would lead and guide us this evening, that you would minister to us by your Spirit. We'd have a sensitivity and be challenged by you and by your word to serve here at the church for your glory and your honor and the furtherance of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, Amen.